Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I don't know how much it blesses you, but it blesses me. And I can truly say, my cup is full and running over. I'm going to continue on the weapons of mass construction, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I love that phrase. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It says so much. Number one, we're in a war. Warfare. Number two, we have weapons. And number three, they're not carnal. That means that it makes me spiritual, supernatural. And what the world does not understand, we've got supernatural weapons that will give us victories in our life. You may be seated. So, this is about five or six I've been on, and I'm going to be on this for a while, on weapons of mass construction. Right now, I'm talking about weaponizing your worship. The Bible says the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is actually advertising, seeking for people that truly know how to worship Him. Most Christians don't know how to worship the Lord. They go to a worship service where there is no worship. They don't know how to worship God. There is an expense of energy and purpose in worship. Worship is not to satisfy an ego-mad God. Worship is to put us in communion and relationship with that God that He might flow through us. As our weapons are mighty through Him, when we worship Him, His presence flows through us. So it's about relationship with Him. I've told you that Christianity defined by Jesus is based on really three things. It's based on an experience. You must be born again. Jesus said that. That's an experience. You must be born again. That's an experience. And the second thing is, Jesus said, I have to know you. That means have a relationship. The word know there is the same word for relationship. So it's built on experience. It's built on relationship. And the third thing, he said to Peter, when thou art converted, feed my sheep. The third thing is ministry. The Bible talks about the ministry of the saints. We think ministry is a guy behind a podium. Ministry is an obligation, duty, and privilege to every saint. And so that is our experience with Christ. But when we are involved in that, He will equip us. Sometimes I hear about our troops in a distant place not having the weapons they need to fight for the United States. That's a shame if that's true. That's a shame. The richest nation in the world, the taxes I pay alone ought to help them. It's a shame if they don't have the weaponry. Well, I can tell you that's not true in God's kingdom. It's not that we don't have the weaponry. It's that we do not avail ourselves to it, and we might not be experienced with it, and we might not know how to use it, but it's available there. So that's what I'm trying to help you at Living Way to do, is to weaponize your worship and realize it's not simply a lifted hand occasionally, or it's not a gasping at your favorite song, or it's not standing up at an appropriate time, or applauding someone that does an excellent job of singing. That's not weaponizing your worship. Weaponizing your worship is doing what John did on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I was on the Isle of Patmos, and I got in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Every Christian ought to know how to get in the Spirit, because I'm going to tell you the devil will come at you like a roaring lion. And if you are defenseless, he will devour you. But if you are in the Spirit of God, and you've weaponized your worship, you can begin to praise God. And what will happen? The Bible said He will flee from you. A lot of people don't know how to make the devil flee from you. So this is the fourth item I want to talk about on weaponizing your worship. Weaponizing your worship binds the devil and his demons. They can't stand you to worship the Lord. It paralyzes them. It makes them flee. It makes them depart. If they can't get out of the way in time, it paralyzes them where they don't have the ability. Look at what, and I love this psalm. I've used this for so many years, not only in the pulpit, but for myself. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth. This is Psalm 149:6. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the kings, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor hath all his saints. He said all of his saints have this ability. All of the saints have this ability to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the demon spirits. We have that ability, but it's set up by high praises of God in our mouth. Learning to praise God, and we can literally cause the devil to be paralyzed, to be dispelled out of our life. Somebody said, I feel like there's a demon in my house. That's a possibility. With all the demon activity there is in this world, it's very possible that a demon would come in with a family member or come into your home because of something that is brought there by television or one thing. A demon just shows up to see if he's going to be allowed to stay. And he will stay if you do not have a weapon against him. And one of the greatest weapons you have is worship. And some of you might say, well, you know, I'm not that kind of person. I understand that some of you can really praise God and you're uninhibited and you're not embarrassed, but I'm a shy, quiet person, and I just can't do that in church. Well, the Bible tells us to praise Him in the sanctuary, so that's important. But the greatest victory we'll have in praise is not what we do in the sanctuary. It's to praise the Lord in the firmament of His power. That means out there where we walk and talk and live and exist. That means on our job and in our homes and in our schools, we learn to praise God. And when I was a young boy coming up, the news media was very sterilized in what they said. But it's not that way anymore. They've adapted much of our terminology. And I hear them talking about appealing to a better angel. That's something the news media uses now. He's appealing to his better angels. Or they'll say about somebody that is maybe a terrorist, they'll talk about maybe he has a demon on him, or a private demon, they'll call it. And they're finally recognizing that there is a supernatural world out there. And that's a step in the right direction to acknowledge it. But it's not just enough to realize there is a spirit world out there. You have to know how to operate in that spirit world. I hope each one of you know the power of prayer and the power of praise. But I hope you also realize that we do have authority over angels, to bring angels in our lives. Do you realize the Bible said that angels for the heirs of salvation? Do you know that one translation said they're errand runners for the saints? Well, there's nothing like an errand runner. That's what I miss about Sean and Brandon being little kids. That's what somebody said they had children for. They couldn't afford a remote control, so they got children. Errand runners. To run them. My dad was like that. My dad could not stand to see me sit down. If we sat down, me and him sat down somewhere, he and I sat down somewhere, he said, Steve, go over there and pull that grass around that mailbox. I mean, there was always something he saw for me to do. If we are to minister and if we are to have dominion over the angels and they are to minister for the heirs of salvation, we need to learn that authority, because you got children driving cars. The scariest thing in San Antonio is the fact that Jaden is driving a car. I pray about that every day, Jaden. And I haven't watched you drive because I don't want to know. Because you told me you were a good driver, and if I saw you drive, I don't want it to hurt my faith. So I'm assuming you're a good driver because you told me you were. But when you send those kids out at 16 years of age with no experience driving a car in this traffic, you better have the authority to send an angel with them. So we have tremendous authority. But the Bible teaches us in this text that the greatest control of spirits, whether they be demonic or angelic, is praise. Sometimes we don't associate those two together, but that's what he said. He said the high praise of God to execute vengeance upon the heathen. He said this is the honor or the ability of all the saints. When you learn to really weaponize your praise, you are going to control both angels and demons. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, said, upon this rock I'll build my church. What was the rock he was talking about? He had just asked Peter, who do men say that I am? He rattled off a bunch of things. Who do you say I am? He said, I say you are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock. When you learn who Jesus Christ is, it opens not only the person of Christ up to you and the power of the Holy Spirit, it also enables you the duty of all the saints, the honor of all the saints, the ability of all the saints. When you know who he is and you begin to praise him for who he is, because that's what worship is worshiping Christ for who he is, more than what he does, who he is. And when Peter got this revelation, it qualified him to be the spokesman on the birthday of the church at the day of Pentecost. And when you understand who Jesus is, and you understand what he's done for you and how much he loves you, that is the first ingredient of becoming a real worshiper and weaponizing your worship and saying, I'm going to praise God. And back to what I was saying a while ago, you might not have the personality to cause a worship fit or to cause a praise scene in this church building with people watching you, but all of you have got a private place. You've got an automobile. You've got a bedroom. You've got an office. You've got somewhere where you can shut the door and practice your praise. You need to practice your praise. Let me tell you what. You watch these people play in the Super Bowl today. That's not their first time to be out there. Those people have put in tens of thousands, in some cases maybe hundreds of thousands of hours of practice since they were little children. And now they're going out there and play today. If you think you can be a praiser by just finding a course you like and say, thank God, that's not it. You got to practice your praise. You got to rehearse your praise. Pastor Brandon, preaching on Wednesday night, said that he praised a lot more in the church, in his daily life, in the barn where he's got horses in his truck, than he does in church. That's true with me. No question about it. I praise a whole lot more outside this building. It's easier here. It's easier here because your flesh doesn't always want to praise God. That's one of the disciplines of the Spirit, is overcoming your flesh. Because when you get a bad report, the last thing that you want to do is praise God. The first thing you want to do is get sympathy. Call somebody. I like to call Becky. When I get bad news, I like to call her. I said, Becky, you never guess what happened. And she's just the wrong person to call. If you're wanting sympathy, you need to call me. Man, I am so compassionate. Sister Becky gives me no sympathy. When something bad happens and I call to give her a bad report, she's the woman that wrote, whose report shall you believe? So you can forget giving her a bad report. It ain't going to help you. But when something bad happens, you want sympathy. The worst thing you can have is somebody that is going to sympathize with you. You need somebody to say, oh, let's join hands and let's praise God that can turn this thing around. Let's praise the God that can rebuke the adversary. The Bible said, execute the judgment that is written. Do you know for everything the devil attacks you with and comes against you with, there's a judgment written against him, but it's an unexecuted judgment. But the Bible said by your praise, you execute the judgment that is written on the devil and his demons. And suddenly, that you know, he's got a hold of your money. When you exercise that judgment, it makes the devil turn loose. He's got a knife stabbed in you called cancer or leukemia or some disease. But when you begin to praise God, it turns that thing around. It turns that thing around. Learning to praise God. You need to learn to get in the spirit and worshiping God. And friend, I can tell you, it is totally alien to your flesh. Your flesh will never, ever suggest it. I'm a grown man. Long pants. My flesh had never suggested praise. My spirit suggests it all the time, and my flesh tries to override it. Says not here and not now. That's not what you need to do right now. But there's always an opportunity to praise God. Good times and bad, you praise God. Things change, but the one you're praising never changes. You're not praising Him for things. You're praising Him for who He is. And when you praise Him for who He is, what did He say? Seek first the kingdom, and then all the things will be added unto you. You're not praising the things. You're praising the God that is able to take care of the things. You remember when Jesus came to Gadara? He came to Gadara, and when He got out of the boat, the first person that met Him was a man that had 6,000 demons. And the Bible said that this man was so controlled by demons, society had given up on him. They had put him in chains and fetters, the Bible said, and he broke them. He had supernatural demonic strength. But when Jesus got out of that boat, the very presence of Christ accosted him. And this man that was demon-possessed, you know what the Bible said he began to do? It said he began to worship Jesus. And so you say, well, I really can't worship the Lord because I have arthritis in my left arm. I can't worship God. I can't worship the Lord because I'm so self-conscious somebody would see me. Hey, you're talking about a guy that had 6,000 demons, and 6,000 demons could not keep him from worshiping the Lord. What does that tell you? That tells you if you want to worship God, that God will give you the power over every circumstance and over every situation and over every person. Don't you know those people that were putting him in chains and they were saying he was hopeless? You know, there's a lot of people that are hopeless that God has not given up on. If they're living and breathing, don't give up on them. Because there is a long history and a long line of people that were apparently hopeless that God has healed and God has saved and God has delivered and God has filled and God has called. And those people that put him in chains, if they were advisors to Christ, they would have said, don't waste your time. He's hopeless. He's broke out of our jail. He's broken our chains. He's broken our fetters. Nobody can. He is so demon-possessed that he doesn't live in a house. He lives in the cemetery. He lives among the tombs. Not only does he live there, he's got pieces of pottery and glass. He cuts himself. You know, that's a bad problem in America, particularly among teenagers. They cut themselves. See, I don't understand those things because I don't have those demon spirits. When I get a hangnail, it's a problem for me. They're cutting or something. I'm saying, oh, I got to do something with that. It's going to hurt if I don't. I'm very serious about pain. I have a high threshold of pain. You know, when I've had my accidents and the doctor said, how bad's it hurt? I say, zero. They said, don't be tough. I said, I'm not being tough. It don't hurt. But I have a high threshold, but I make sure it doesn't reach that threshold. So I can't imagine cutting yourself. But teenagers today cut themselves. That's a demonic spirit, to cut yourself. And that's what this man in the tombs of Gadara, he would cut himself. He was unsavable. He was impossible. He was violent. He had 6,000 demons in him. But the Bible said all of a sudden he began to worship Jesus. And when he did, Jesus ministered to him. Friend, I don't care what your problem is today. If you can discipline your flesh and make it worship God regardless of the circumstance, it opens a door for Christ to begin to minister back to you. And there's a retrospective thing that happens. He begins to, as you worship Him, He begins to flood. He inhabits that praise. He just walks it back. When that first syllable of hallelujah hits him, he starts walking it back. When that first hand goes up, he starts walking it down. He's coming into the situation. He is not you might be afraid of the devil, but God's not. You might be afraid of a circumstance, but God's not. You might be afraid of poverty, but God's not. You might be afraid of cancer, but God's not. Oh, just worship the Lord. Learn to weaponize your worship. And this man worshiped even with chains dangling from his arms. You know, I was raised in those church where you couldn't worship until they got you where they wanted you. If you looked like you was a sinner, you couldn't worship the Lord. If they saw cigarettes in your pockets, you couldn't worship. If you had tattoos, you had to wear long sleeves, cover them up. If you had alcohol, they'd probably escort you out if it's on your breath. That's terrible. That's like doctors throwing sick people out of hospitals. This is a house where we've got one thing to do, and that is to teach people to worship God, because if they can worship God, no matter what kind of trouble the devil's got them in, they are not hopeless. God, remember the woman at the well? She was married 5 times, living with one that was not her husband. And that proves, I love that story because it proves so many things. Jesus said, you've had 5 husbands, and you're living with one that's not. That tells me that Jesus Christ recognized all 5 husbands because there had been a marriage supper, a marriage ceremony, and he recognized each one and gone through that ceremony. He didn't recognize the one. And so you say, well, the Lord knows we've never been married, but we just live together. It's the same. No, it's not. The Bible says you need to have a marriage union. And so if she'd had 5 unions, she got around town, folks. But when Jesus was there, he did not talk to her about her morality. He talked to her about her worship. And when he talked to her about her worship, a transformation took place. When he began to address this man with 6,000 demons, the man worshiped, a transformation took place. What happened? Let the high praise of God be in your mouth to execute the vengeance upon the demons. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, there are devils and demons that have got you for a target. You are their assignment. They came from hell with your name on their lips. And you say, why is this happening to me? Why has this sickness come to me? Because the devil is trying to kill you. Because the devil hates you. And you say, well, what can I do? Friend, you do not face the devil with carnal weapons. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And so when the devil comes in like a flood, you've got to be a person that knows how to just get in the Spirit of the Lord and say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I applaud you. I glory. And get in worship, and you begin to worship. I promise you, I've got so many things I want to talk about before I get through with just this part of this series. I want to talk about depression. I want to talk about fear. I want to talk about suicide. But I can tell you that that worship is the best weapon against all 3 of those things. Somebody said, I'm bipolar. That is a real attack of the enemy. A real attack of the enemy. And the response to that is that you weaponize your worship. The devil gets you alone in the dark of the night and begins to haunt you and talk to you. But praise God, if you can lift your hands laying flat on your back on that bed and begin to worship the Lord, the devil will flee from you. Learn how to weaponize your worship. Become a worshiper. David said, 7 times a day will I praise the Lord. Paul said, I pray without ceasing. I've blended those things together. I pray and I praise. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the richest men in San Antonio, president of one of the richest banks in San Antonio, called last week, and I've never met him in my life, didn't even know his name. He said he'd like to take me to dinner. He took me to a dinner to a restaurant you can't even go to if you're not a member. When we got up for that beautiful meal, he didn't even pay. He just walked out the door. I guess they sent him a bill at the end of the month. I don't know how they do. You got to be a member. You can't go into that restaurant. That's where he took me to eat Friday. And so I'm interested in what he wants. You know what he said? this guy does not seem to be a real, he didn't mention being a Christian or spiritual. He said, I am familiar with the history of Living Way Church, and I just want to make sure we're your bank, that you don't go anywhere else. Hey, friend, 20-some years ago, I sat with a banker, and he said, my advice, Reverend, is that you file bankruptcy. The church cannot go on. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, what happened? We praised our way from poverty to prosperity. That's exact. We didn't quit. We didn't stop. And I tell the devil today in San Antonio, Texas, I don't care what weapon you've got formed against us. It's not going to prosper, because we are going to continue to weaponize our worship. And we're going to worship him in the morning, in the evening. We're going to worship him in the good times and the bad times. We're going to worship him when we are blessed and when we are under attack. We don't care. We know who our God is, and we're going to worship him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're in this building right now and you understand a demon has got a target on your back, and he's attacking you and zeroing in on you. It might be through your children. It might be through your marriage. It might be through your physical health. It might be through your job. It might be through your education. It might be through a courtroom. It might be through your finance. But if you realize the devil has got you for a target, I challenge you to get out of that pew and come down to this altar and say, devil, you are not going to be able to defeat me. I am more than an overcomer. I'm a worshiper of the living God, and I'm going to weaponize my worship, and I am going to have victory in every dimension of my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not preaching to you something that I've heard. I'm preaching to you something I live, and something that has happened to my life, and something that has happened to this church. Praise God. God has given us a victory when we had nobody else to turn to. We had nobody to turn to but God. And we just kept worshiping him, and God would turn it around. To somebody here today, it's an old scripture that we quote a lot, but he said about Joseph, what the devil means for evil, I'm going to turn for good. And that's what God is saying to somebody in this building today. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ, my friend, I can promise you that you're on the devil's hit list and you don't have much protection. Come and give your heart to Jesus. I can also say, if you're a Christian and you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have the power you need in this day and time, because the devil has come down with all of his wrath, according to Revelation 12. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you have not been baptized, water in the name of Jesus, then you do not adequately know how to use that name that will bring the devil to his knees. You need to come and get baptized today. If you're a Christian and you're living for God, but you don't have your worship weaponized, you need to do that today. Come and make that decree. I'm going to weaponize my worship. I'm going to worship God, not just in this church building, but in my car and in my home and at work and wherever I'm going to worship God, and my life is going to turn around, and I'm going to have victory at every juncture in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Worship the Lord all over this building. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.